Amen. Open your Bibles to Job 26. This is hopefully the second and final effort, the last of the message on six questions for the child of God. Six questions for the child of God. Job 26, verse 1. But Job answered and said, "How hast thou helped him that is without power? How savest the arm that hath no strength? How hast thou counseled him that hath no wisdom? And how hast thou plentifully declared the thing as it is? To whom hast thou uttered words? And whose spirit came from thee?" And again, we started last week and we told you Job's friends came to minister to him, to grieve with him, to mourn with him, to be there for him, and they end up condemning him. And he called them physicians of no value and miserable comforters. Are ye all? And then I wanted to take this and make it an application for us here. The Lord's coming back. I believe he's coming back soon. I hope he's coming back sooner than I think. But either way, we have a responsibility. Does the world see us as physicians of no value? Do they see us as miserable comforters? I spent time talking about that last week, and we looked at the first three questions that were asked. You know, and with that last week, I'm not going to re-preach the intro on that. I'm not going to go over those points completely again. But that first question was, how hast thou helped him that is without power? I told you that the power of the gospel is not found in the receiving. It's found in the giving. Amen? We looked at different things with that and how we helped them. It has no power. No one can save himself. No one can purchase his salvation. No one can work his way into the grace of God. Second question was, how savest the arm that hath no strength? And we talked about helping others. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We looked at different things with that. Thirdly, then we finished with, how hast thou counseled him that hath no wisdom? On our divine prayer list, Judy and I have, we've had two separate people, one of them a Muslim, and another one who doesn't know God at all, ask for wisdom and understanding. And was able to, with the Mahud, the Muslim, we were able to talk to him about Jesus Christ being wisdom. And there's no understanding of God without him. Okay, so we looked at that. We spent time at that. And I want you to know, people don't know. We witnessed to a lady today. She was her divine appointment today. And Judy looked at me afterwards and she goes, she really has no understanding of God. None at all. See, because, you know, it used to be if you were a good Catholic, at least you knew about the Godhead. Not so today. This lady started with Catholicism, tried to say, well, I was baptized, and then I did my first communion, and then I was confirmed. And I said, and what does the church teach you about salvation? And she couldn't answer because she had no idea, because she wasn't even a practicing Catholic. There's members of her family. She's got grandparents of a stepson that are believers and taking her stepson to church. He's young enough, he said he wants to be a preacher. And she has no idea who Jesus Christ is or what the cost of her salvation. And we're trying to work through with, she's a waitress. You know what they can't do? They can't spend all their time sitting with you. the one who got saved Monday, she didn't care. I looked at Judy and I said, that fruit was ready to fall off and hit the ground. I mean, she goes, please, can you show me how to be saved? Can I pray right now? Can you help me pray? When I told her there was joy in heaven, there was joy in her heart. Amen. How have we helped them? Tonight, we're going to look at the fourth question. Okay, and these are questions I told you to ask yourself. All right? How hast thou helped him without power, that is without power? How savest the arm that hath no strength? Are you lifting other people up? How hast thou counseled him that hath no wisdom? Because we live in a day and age where preachers and Christians spend more time, as I've said before, on secular psychology than they do on the Word of God. And the answer is with God. It's with Jesus Christ. When secular psychology agrees with what the Scripture says, and I've studied enough, and I've counseled alongside of licensed therapists and said, well, what you're saying is true, but the reason it's true is this. And gave them Scripture to support it. Because they only treat the physical side and the lost emotional side of people. They don't deal with their spirit and they don't really deal with their soul. Tonight, and how hast thou plentifully declared the thing as it is? Declared the thing as it is. You know, it's tied directly to question number three. How has thou counseled him with no wisdom? How have you declared it? Is it the truth? How many in here could raise their hand and say they remember Howard Cosell? He had a saying, and he'd be talking about the truth. Okay. He'd be talking about the truth. He could be abrasive, very direct, very highly opinionated of himself. But he wanted you to have the unvarnished facts in that matter. All right? I've never forgotten that. Okay? If you're supposed to declare how the thing as it is, how many Christian, and I can tell you I've dealt with them, they witness one time to a person and then they say, I've done my part. My Bible says, go out in the highways and byways and compel them to come in. I had probably witnessed to my sister Libby 30 times through the years at least. And it wasn't until something she'd gone through something and then Heather reached her and just said, Aunt Libby, I don't want to have to not see you in heaven. Can I please talk to you again? And she prayed and asked Christ to be her Savior. Because some plant, some water, but God granteth the... You don't know whether you're planting, you don't know whether you're watering. The vast majority of our divine appointments, those people haven't accepted Christ. They were given tracts. They weren't ready. They weren't taking that. They wanted us to pray. They'd cry that we'd pray, and then we'd try to witness to them Jesus Christ about their own condition, and they I've got to get back to work, or I can't take the time right now. So we pray, God deal with their hearts. We deal with their prayer requests, and then we deal with their hearts. But I want you to understand, declare it as it is. Okay? I want you to know you haven't fulfilled your obligation because you handed them a track if you get to see them again. Sometimes you may never see someone again. I pray for you. Pastor Kenny prays for you because you'll run into people you work with, you talk with, your neighbors will never see. If you're witnessing to your neighbors and you get stuck, you ask, we'll go. Don Moody got saved because of that. Another man in our church. Okay. Witness to him and witness to him and witness to him. Ray McMillan. And he goes, Pastor, I can't set the hook. So I went there. 2.5 hours later, he had done all the work. He accepted Christ as a Savior. And I look at that, and Ray McMillan gets part of the thing because Don leads people to the Lord a lot. You ever think about that? The shoemaker who led D.L. Moody to the Lord? If you don't know who D.L. Moody is, look him up. Declared as it is. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We may not get past this point tonight. I don't know. 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is the Apostle Paul's charge to Timothy, one of his pastors, his preacher boys. And he says, I charge thee therefore before God in the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing in kingdom. What are we supposed to do? Preach the word. Be what? That means be ready always with an answer of the hope that lieth within you. Instant, in season. Okay, do you have to wait to pray? Or can you pray at any time? Can you witness at any time? You have to follow the rules. You cannot violate. You don't have a right to steal from your employer. That could ruin your testimony. But if you're asked and you can do that and you're not affecting your job and you've got a good testimony, you get a little bit of break from your boss. They give you a little leeway. It says, be instant. How? In season. You know what that means? I look at that. There is a season for bow hunting, a season for gun hunting, deer. Now, varmints we can kill all year round. But in season, you know what it means when it's convenient, when it seems to be right. In season, and what? Out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with once. Long-suffering in doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Long-suffering in doctrine. The teaching of the Word of God. When I got first called in the ministry and then I first became the pastor of this church years later, I preached out of 1 and 2 Timothy on Sunday nights. I look at this. I'm going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. You ready? Because have you said the words? Have you declared the thing as it is? You ready? 2 Timothy 1, look at verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting out of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of his of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to his power, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I don't want to finish reading that whole sentence, okay? Don't take the time with that, but I want you to understand the first thing he's telling us to do there is to stir up, right? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. Excuse me. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. For it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. If you're saved, you know what you have inside of you? The Holy Spirit of God. Your earnest of your inheritance. He can't deny himself in you. And it says, of these things, put them in what? Charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. So you're told to stir them up. He's told to strive not. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. What are we in today? Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. I've had homosexuals tell me, you can't show me any words in the, or any passages in the Bible that teach against homosexuality. Yeah, I can. Without natural affection, that's men towards women, okay? And women towards men. False accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such what? Turn away. Do you know what he's telling you to do? Continue. Look at verse 12, same chapter. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing whom thou hast learned them. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So you got to continue in them. Isn't that interesting? Continue from what time? Parents, do you read the Bible with your children? Apparently, Timothy's mother and grandmother, right? And from that a child thou was known the Holy Scriptures were able to make thee wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. And that tells you all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, that's the teaching, for reproof, that's telling them what's wrong, for correction, that's telling them how to make it right, for instruction, tell them the way to do it to make it right. You still with me? We read 2 Timothy 4, there's the admonition to preach the word. When it's convenient, when it's not convenient. Do you do that? Are you willing to? If you're an adult and you haven't memorized at least Romans Road, that's an insult to the Holy Spirit. Parents, you ought to be teaching your children that. Will everybody get saved by hearing the Romans Road? No. But you know what Romans Road will help you do? Show them that they're lost and how to get saved. Because you can't get them saved if they don't know they're lost. How hast thou plentifully declared the thing as it is? What's the truth that you know? You know what I find? The more I quote Scripture, the more I remember it. I haven't spent a lot of time trying to memorize this verse and then go memorize that verse and go memorize that verse. I've tried to learn to use my sword. All I want you to do is try to learn to use your sword so you can say the thing as it is. Still with me? Back in Job 26. To whom hast thou uttered words? Asking that question. To whom has you uttered words, you know? You ever meet a Christian who knew perfectly what the will of God was for someone else? I know of a pastor, I won't tell you where it is and what part of the country, but I'll tell you, well, I will, I'll tell you it's the Midwest. He believed that if God didn't reveal it to him, it wasn't the will for you. And there's preachers like that. You know what I say to that? Aw, nuts. I'm not the Holy Spirit. Okay? I'll ask you if you can support what you're doing with Scripture, because you can hear from more than one spirit, even as a believer. What voice do you hear? To whom has you uttered words? Yeah. You ever have somebody come up to you and say, I know they're not doing right? What do you think about this, Pastor? I had a well-meaning person used to be in the church come up and say, oh, you need to know some people have said this and they're unhappy. So they told you? If they have a problem with me, what are they supposed to do with it? Come to me. If you have a problem. Now, as I mentioned last week, you got to get both sides of the argument. There's nothing wrong with trying to find the right information and know where people are coming from. It's another thing to talk to someone else before you've ever talked to God about that issue. It's wrong to talk to someone else when it is dealing a different person than the one you went and talked to. You with me? To whom has thou uttered words? You talk to God about the person and their problem, then to that person. I want to ask you tonight, will you be looked at as somebody who they would take you in confidence and it's going to stay there? It ought to be able to be true of all of us. Sorry to say, at some point, probably all of us have not completely done that. I'll tell teenagers all the time, when they know a kid's getting in trouble and their parents don't know what's going on and the kid is struggling, it's not wrong for you to go get help for them. As long as you've taken it to God first and you don't know how to help them get out of that problem, then you go get someone to help them, because you bear one of those burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, right? If a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, knowing ye yourselves what? Likewise can be tempted. Who have you uttered the words to? Let's go quickly to Proverbs. You should be reading a proverb a day. Gives you practical wisdom. So you know what a proverb a day will do? Keep the stupid away. Look at Proverbs 16. We'll start there and then we'll go back to 11. Proverbs 16. You ready? Look at verse 28. A froward man soweth, and a whisperer separate chief friends. Now go back to Proverbs 11, and then we'll go forward again. Verse 13. A talebearer revealeth what? But he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Concealeth the matter. Please, if you, Pastor Kenny and I have done something wrong, come and talk to us about it. Protect us. Because if you talk to someone else about it, you ever seen, used to be when I was the teen pastor in his church, we'd play that game where you'd whisper something in one person's ear. And I remember time there was like 16 of them sitting there. And by the time it got brought back around to you again, what you whispered was somebody being a lecherous axe murderer, basically. You know what I mean? It gets changed. A talebearer revealeth secrets, and he that is of faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Okay, go to Proverbs 20. In a mouth of two or three witnesses, let what? It's going to be established, isn't it? 20 and verse 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Proverbs 26. I've had people tell me, why do you go so slow in dealing with a problem? Now, in my family, I'm hard on them. Right, Derek? But you're dealing with a person. Are they going to listen to you if they don't believe you love them? You ready? Proverbs 26, verse 20. Is he that taketh away a garment in cold weather and his vinegar upon nitre, so is he that singeth songs to a heavy heart. Nope, I'm reading 25. I mean 26. Excuse me, I went to the wrong one. Verse 20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out, and where there is no talebearer, what? As coals are to burning coals, so wood is to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are his wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the what? What is God trying to say to us? Leviticus chapter 19. It says, on top of my Bible, I have an Oxford Reference Bible. At the top it says, a repetition of sundry laws. Look at verse 16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. I think he's kind of warning strictly, isn't he? 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. It's talking about here in the context of not receiving a widow into the church, okay, unless she be of certain age, well reported of for good works, that she have brought children, verse 10, have brought up children, she have lodged strangers, she have washed the saints' feet, she have relieved the afflicted, she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have waxed, when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they'll what? Now, I'm not saying there's something wrong with remarriage. But watch, it says, having damnation because they cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be, what? Idle, wandering about from house to house. And not only idle, but tattlers and busybodies speaking what? Things that they ought not. one of the greatest sins of Christianity, and it doesn't know a denomination. It doesn't know a church. It happens in all born-again Bible-believing churches. It happens in the reprobate churches, but it happens in good Bible-believing churches, charismatic churches, Pentecostal churches, Presbyterian churches, Methodist churches. You want me to continue listing denominations? Because you know there's hundreds of them. One of the biggest problems is gossip. So what does it say? It says, to whom hast thou uttered words? If you can't say what you want to say to the person that it's about, then you should not say it to someone else. Is that easy? You can talk to the Lord about it, but if you can't say it to a person's face, and listen, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Amen? If you can't say it to that person, then you shouldn't say it. To whom hast thou uttered words? Just a question for the Christian. Last one. Last one. We will finish up. Go back to Job 26. Verse 4, to whom hast thou uttered words? And it says, and what? Whose spirit came from thee? Whose spirit came from thee? I'm hurting tonight. Pastor Kenny knew it. Kevin, he was up here, he's watching me, and I'm sitting in my seat over here, and my back is ready to spasm, and I'm trying to distract myself and got to get my mind ready to preach, and I'm trying to follow the pattern for the music. And he's going, you're following the pattern, but your face, you're either angry or you're hurting. And I said, my wife is always telling me, smile, because when you don't smile, you look mean. I don't mean to look mean. Okay, I want the right spirit to come from me. Okay, Galatians chapter 6. We're going to finish up. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are what? Do what? The purpose is restoration. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Restore such a one in the spirit of what? Meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. The spirit of meekness. The spirit of meekness is the law of Christ. 2 Timothy 1:7, for thou, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What spirit comes from thee? In John chapter 14, for the sake of time tonight, we won't turn there, but the Holy Spirit's called the Spirit of Truth, and he's called the Comforter in John 14. In John 15, and in John 16, they use the word the Comforter. Do you know you comfort your children when you discipline them properly? It makes them more secure. Not in the moment that it happens, but when it's completed properly. You know, sometimes whom the Lord loveth, he... What spirit comes from thee? There's different people in this church. I've told them there's something going on. I said, I don't want to be right, but I'm telling you, according to God's word here, if you continue in this, this is what it's going to lead to. And I love you, and I don't want it to cost you. what spirit came from thee? That can be, are they seeing the Holy Spirit ministering from you? Or are they seeing an attitude? See, I tease with Pastor Kenny and I say, you want to know? Go ask Pastor Kenny. But sometimes that's not done in the proper spirit or attitude. Judy will say, you weren't nice when you said that. But she's doing it in a spirit of love towards me. She doesn't do it in front of you. She waits till we get home, hits me with a cast iron griddle, and then tells me what's wrong. No, just kidding. Okay, but I want you to understand, if he's called the Comforter, the Spirit of Christ is the spirit of meekness. What spirit do they receive from you? I turn around. Stand up, honey. And I'm going to do this and we're done. Sometimes when I have, well, stand up, honey. No. Stand up. Okay. I'll have people sent to me. They're struggling in their marriage. She's talking about what's wrong with him. He's talking about what's wrong with her. I'll look at him and say, tell me what's wrong with you. You tell me what's wrong with you. And I'll look at the woman and say, you tell me what's wrong with you. Now, husband, put out your hands, palms up. Wife, put your hands in them. Take them and look them in the eye and say, I love you. We can work through this. Do you know how many times that has stopped the war in that home? What spirit is it? Well, she offended me. I'm going to make sure she knows I'm boss. He doesn't love me. I'm going to make sure he's hurting like I'm hurting. I don't care if it's your spouse, your children, the co-worker. Don't take your co-worker's hands and look in their face and say, I love you. But the attitude that's needed is one that the Comforter will use. All God's children said, good night and God bless.